Welcome to the 2017 Extraordinarily Fresh Fantasy Football League. This will be our first podcast of the season, and we are going to start with a quick recap of our draft that we had last week. And I am joined by Eric and Clint and our commissioner. So guys, what did you think of the 2017 version of our draft? Compare it to other seasons. Some thoughts of anything that stuck out to you guys?
I mean, you're looking at a majority of just a handful of wide receiver twos and running back twos on the draft board there. And, you know, other than that, you know, you're looking at, you know, wide receiver threes and handcuffs and, you know, backups, timeshare running backs, people, you know, guys like that. The talent was definitely spread a lot more thin. So the keepers, I think this is my third year in the league. The keepers are so much more important now, I think, to me anyway. What do you guys think?
No, I completely agree. The keepers are key. And I think it's what keeps people making trades later in the season to try to acquire those keepers that will help their team in the next year. I mean, you're right. In general, the running backs were not great that were available, but we did have some impact receivers, and you saw like DeAndre Hopkins went for $41. And then some of the tight ends, I'm sure we'll talk about it later, went for pretty expensive amounts, you know, in the 35 to 40 dollar range. But in general, like, I was surprised at Tom Brady. You know, like, Aaron Rodgers went at 32 and Tom Brady got the 30, and I was like, well, I guess I might as well jump in on him. And turns out the following pick, Drew Brees went for 35. So I think there were some values in the draft, but you're right, the talent wasn't really there.
What about you, Eric? What do you think?
I didn't have a lot of money to play with. I only had $58, but I thought the tight ends, I couldn't believe how expensive they were going. And then the end of the draft, like Robbie Anderson, I forgot, he went for, I think, around 20, and some of the other wide receiver threes were going for a decent amount because of the talent pool. So it was interesting. Everyone had different strategies, which was good.
Yeah, I think when you kind of, Clint mentioned earlier about how important the keepers are, you know, especially this was also my third year. And, you know, with everybody, the way we did the rookie draft 2 years ago and then the rookie draft last year and then the rookie draft this year, you know, that having all those guys kept off with also our, you know, three keepers or whatever, it really does make it shallow to start. Were there guys that were available that will be an impact? Absolutely. But I think just in general, you know, a lot of the stars you're able to keep, even at a higher price that you're paying just to keep them, if they were in the auction, they might go 10, 20, 25% more. So I think that kind of trickles down to we get to the point in the draft where guys still have money to spend. And so, yeah, second string running back or a flyer on a third string receiver might go for 20, 25. I know I took Wendell Smallwood for 26. So
one thing that a different strategy I tried this year, and I'm sure this is nothing new to anybody, but you know, if there's a guy you want, go ahead and get him, especially early, because
right,
people are paying, you know, everybody's paying the same amount when he might be, you know, a tier or two lower than the guy you want. People are still going to pay that 25 or 30 bucks for, you know, because, you know, they, you think like, oh, I don't want to pay that. I don't want to pay that. And then, you know, 20 picks later, you still haven't spent any money because you don't want to pay that. And there's no talent left. So I just went for who I wanted this year. And, you know, I kind of really didn't care what I was spending in a way, you know, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, if you're trying to get the guy, like you said, you're trying to get the guy you want. So you might, you know, you might as well. You know what your strategy is, what your budget's going to look like if you get this guy, this guy, this guy. So I guess, yeah, it's up to each individual, you know, whether you want to spend it right away or save it. But Yeah, I did notice, like, still having some money left toward the end. Man, this stuff got thin. That's why I could spend 26 on a Smallwood, or, you know, some of the guys that went really late, who went for maybe as much or more than some of the guys earlier on.
Well, I didn't have a lot of money to play with, so I was just, I sat back for a while, which is tough for me not to run a bid. I just nitpicked, like, Derek Carr for 12, Rudolph for 16. So I needed a quarterback and a tight end and a couple wide receivers. So I think I accomplished my goal.
Yeah, I think my strategy was more like Clint's. I identified actually a list of players that I wanted. And so I did not mind overpaying for those players. I think I may have mentioned in the GroupMe chat that there was one player that I got that I didn't actually want, which was Tom Brady. But I just felt like I had enough money to do it, and he was about to go for slightly lower than Aaron Rodgers. And then Drew Brees went higher. And then there were two players that I actually had on the list that I didn't end up getting. One was Jordan Reed. And I guess, you know, we'll talk about this later, but perhaps that was a good thing. And then the second one was Adam Thielen. And Ronnie actually knew I was going for him, so he kept bidding up. And it got to a point where I just wasn't willing to go that much higher.
No, that makes sense. I kind of had the same thing. I mean, I remember, well, since you brought up Jordan Reed, I'll go ahead and get into a little bit of the tight end discussion. But I remember I wanted Travis Kelce, and I wanted him bad because I've mentioned before, I'm playing in four leagues this year. And prior to going into our draft, the fresh draft, I already had him in two leagues, and I kind of reached for him. And I'm like, you know, because he is, you know, has the potential, I should say, to be that impact player. And, you know, with the departure of Macklin and everything, I really thought they would be leaning pretty heavily on him. So I went for him, and me and Chad got in a little bit of a bidding war. And I know he initially thought I was trying to bid him up, but it wasn't that at all. I mean, yeah, I had Eifert for $7, but I mean, that's $7, and I could put him in a flex, you know, and I mean, have Kelce being my main tight end for, you know, if I was going to pay low 30s for him, I was happy with it, but he kept going on it. So I said, forget it, I'm done. And I, you know, that one kind of got away, but that was, I didn't want to spend that much. And I couldn't justify that. So, you know, props to Chad on that.
Before we get to other teams, did you guys have any final thoughts on your team? Anything that kind of surprised you, any deal you think you got, anything like that?
Well, I mean, should we bring up the hero of Thursday Night Football now, Kareem Hunt? I mean, I feel like I got lucky. I mean, I know I did. I mentioned in the chat that Thursday night, I watched a Bengals preseason game, and he was in with the first team. And this was before Ware was hurt, but he was in with the first team and took some snaps. And I thought, man, this kid looks pretty good. I'm going to, you know, I'll spend $14 or $17, whatever it was, on him. And, you know, if he ends up in a timeshare with Ware and he gets some catches out of the backfield, I mean, if he ends up with, you know, 10 to 12 fantasy points a game, that's definitely worth, you know, $15, $17, whatever I pay for him. And gosh, I mean, right now, obviously it's only game one, but I feel like I got high RB2, low RB1 value, you know, for dirt cheap, essentially. So we'll see how the season plays out on that, but that's the only really star from my draft, I should say.
Right. Yeah. He definitely outperformed his first game, and, you know, that would be a hard pace to keep up, but I'd say you getting him at 16, you know, like you said, it may be a low RB1 or high RB2, but he's going to get the workload of an RB1 because I don't see anybody challenging him, especially after that first game. Eric, you got any more on your team? Anything stick out to you?
For the draft, just I wanted McCaffrey bad. I just watched, like Clint, I watched him preseason, and so I saw him. He looks strong kid, so he did okay today, but, you know, I think eventually with the Carolina offense, I think I paid a lot, but I wanted to get the guy I wanted. And when Fournette drove up to 433, I wasn't that big on him compared to McCaffrey, so on McCaffrey, lock him in.
Right. All right. Yeah, it's kind of funny the way, you know, we see people like Clint saw Hunt play and, you know, Eric watch McCaffrey, and you just see something that you like. You know, that's how I felt last year. That's why I bid on Jordan Howard, because I actually saw him in person when I went up and saw Michigan play IU. And he really impressed me in person, and I just thought he'd have a good year. So it's just, you know, it's those little things sometimes that just stick out. So how about Skip? You got anything else on your team, or we covered all that?
Oh, well, I mean, I think I just kind of took a lot of shots at running back. So hopefully someone hits. I was actually, even though he didn't score that much, I was fairly pleased with how involved James White was on Thursday night. And it looks like he's probably going to be at least the most dependable back in the New England backfield.
All right. Well, what did you guys think of some different strategies of guys other than you, like with a tight end strategy? And who did you think came out well, or some other steals and deals, or general impressions on other people's teams?
I thought Brad, Simon, and at the time I thought Chad had the best drafts. Absolutely. And JR, forgot to mention JR. So those are my opinion, are the four best drafts. I went back and looked at it, and I think overall, I think Brad and, my opinion, Simon have the best, you know, all around. Maybe Chad got all the tight ends, Simon more heavy plays, but all overall depth, I think Brad and Simon got the best. Just my opinion.
All right, Clint, do you have any thoughts on, you know, what, like, or how we saw Chad take tight end after tight end after tight end, and he spent, you know, almost, what, 40% of his budget on tight ends or so, I guess. Yeah. So, I mean, what do you think of that strategy? I know that was a big topic when it was going on.
Well, I know, and I don't know. Chad, we were in that conference call, and I don't know if he thought, you know, I wanted, or I knew he wanted Kelce, because obviously he put it in the chat that I was bidding him up, which wasn't true. I mean, and even if I was, who cares? Because he paid. But I remember the conference call when it was, who was the other one? Who did he end up with? Did he end up with Gronk and Travis Kelce, and then somebody else?
No, I have Gronk. He had Jordan Reed and Zach Ertz.
Oh, yeah, Jordan Reed, Zach Ertz, and Travis Kelce. And I know he got Kelce, and then Jordan Reed came shortly after on the draft board, and he was bidding him up too. And I've got the feeling he was trying to make somebody else pay high money for a tight end, and we all just kind of said, let him have it. So, I mean, yeah. You know, it's, but you know, that is a risk you have to take if you're trying to bid somebody up. You have to be prepared to take that player, and maybe that's what he wanted. You know, I don't know. Even if he didn't want it, he'd probably never admit to it. But
yeah, he said it was part of his strategy, and just for the record, he also got Vernon Davis, so he has four tight ends.
Wow. So, well, I mean, we got two flex spots, so. I mean, shoot, man, one tight end and two flex spots. So, I mean, if you're gonna have a guy that you can spend $30 on, but he's gonna get you, you know, 15 to 20 fantasy points a game, why not? You know, so.
Right. It'll be interesting to see how that strategy plays out.
I just think it's tough to win without running backs. Like, look at having the Ronnie in the end last year. You didn't have the running back then.
Right. Yeah, that is true. If you don't have guys that can score you those points, since running back is such a strange position with all the, you know, no, it's hard to find guys that are just, you know, have it all to themselves. Everybody's got goal line carries for this person or third down back for this person. So, makes it.
I'm looking at JR's team now, and I mean everything he did in the draft was solid. He put together a really good team. I mean, between his keepers and his draft and everything. So I don't know. I mean, that's really all I got to say about that. Just looking at his team, I'm just really impressed with how well it is put together. I mean, I look at my team and I just see a big mess. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I look at JR's team as very, very, very solid. I don't see a lot of holes there. So as long as he can stay healthy, which is always a big if. I thought Jewel had a really nice draft too. Just my two cents for that. I feel like
there was some guys in the draft that Jewel really wanted, and it just kind of, the price just got a little bit too much for her, because I would see her bidding back and forth with somebody and then, you know, ultimately not get somebody after, you know, she threw, you know, five or six bids on it. You know what I mean? So I that's just one thing I just noticed from the draft.
Yeah, I was looking at Roland's draft too, and I know Roland was on the conference call with us at the time, and I know he was explaining it away like he was just kind of throwing it out there and, you know, just trying to get someone. But it turns out that he had a pretty solid strategy for the players that he wanted to target, and I don't think he did too bad of a job actually getting a good roster. I think he may have some issues in the future, but. You know, I think in terms of the whole landscape of the league, he actually did fairly well with not having great keepers and then coming out with a pretty good team.
Right. Yeah, I agree. So, well, I think we plowed a pretty good amount of ground with the draft. Did anybody have any last thoughts on it, or are we going to put that one in the books for now?
I mean, I'll say the conference call was pretty cool.
I agree.
I like that concept. I'll make sure in future years to, you know, publicize it a little earlier, and I guess we're doing a Vegas draft next year, so it doesn't even matter. But yeah, in future years, I'll definitely publicize it earlier, and we can make it a lot more interactive type of thing. But it did help the draft experience, I will say that.
All right. So I guess that'll wrap it up for our 2017 draft. I guess we can touch on a little bit. Our next topic is immediately after the draft, and the next couple days following that, there was a lot of waiver wire bids that went on, you know, for the rookies that we couldn't get. I think they drew a lot of attention, a lot of money. It seemed like the fab money for quite a few teams dried up pretty quick. What'd you guys think about the waiver situation? Who'd you like? Who got picked up? Who spent way too much on somebody?
Oh, I was gonna say Zay Jones. I thought, I thought that was the goal, and I could see the point, but it's Buffalo too. Still, you know, just my opinion.
Yeah, my big one was
James Conner, $100.
Yeah, that's the big one for me. Yeah, so I mean, I'll just say Eric got to it. It's James Conner for 100. I think that was the sort of biggest surprise, and I don't think it was a secret that Chad was going to go for James Conner. It's somewhat of a homer pick, right? And we knew that he felt that he needed to take some shots at running back, but to spend 100 on it was a little steep, especially given what has happened today. And I'm not gonna, you know, create any spoilers here, but it would help if he had some fab going into next week.
Yeah, I personally laid off on the waivers coming in because I, you know, in the years past, I would kind of look and see and pick somebody, and, you know, before game one of the season, you know, 60 to 70% of my fab would be gone. And, you know, inevitably, even with a league as deep as ours, I mean, you're going to have, you know, two to maybe five players, you know, emerge that are going to be worthwhile on, you know, on
teams that have rosters as deep as ours. So I wanted to lay off because I didn't see anybody that I was just willing to reach for just yet.
Right. Yeah, I guess.
Go ahead, Eric. I was happy to get OJ Howard for 75. I'm looking at next year too. We might need him for next year. But I was looking beyond this year too, and I thought he might not contribute that much, but he's going to be a stud, I think, next year. And I knew Zay was going for 100, so I'm happy getting him. I need tight ends too, so I only have Rudolph and Gates. So, but at least I have a few dollars. But once I'm not the person to spend all the money.
Right. Yeah. I guess that is part of the strategy is if you can try to get control of a guy for next year, who may be worth keeping, because, you know, for whatever reason he didn't get picked up in the rookie draft or something, and maybe you'll find that guy. Just as like a quick reminder, I'll a few numbers here. Zay Jones went for 109. And like we said, Connor 100, Jamal Williams went for 88, Cooper Kupp went for 85, OJ Howard 76, Ingram 41, Samuel 25. So any other one of those stick out for any of you guys in one way or another?
I don't know. I thought Shane did a pretty good job, actually. He got some higher upside wide receivers for relatively lower prices in Curtis Samuel and then Chris Godwin. So, you know, I think, yeah, he got sort of the next tier of rookie receivers beyond the Zay Joneses and the Cooper Kupps, but they still were taken relatively high in the draft. They're still in situations, sort of team situations, that allow for them to be successful. If not earlier in the season, probably later on. And he didn't actually have to use the fab that was needed to get those top tier receivers.
Right. He still got some money to spend through the year. So, yeah, it was definitely a different way to go about it compared to, you know, a few of us who basically spent everything we had on one guy. So that was pretty much it for the waiver wire for the week. I didn't really see a lot of other big pickups that would really like move the needle for me. Did I miss anything? You guys think any of the pickups were worth anything?
I'll say, you know, looking at JR's team, I know we said that he did a pretty good job with the draft. And then looking at the waiver wire bids, I mean, I know we're looking at it right now as we speak, but it seems like Evan Ingram may actually be a pretty good piece to add to that team. And then David Njoku, you know, being a primary weapon for DeShone Kizer, you know, rookie quarterbacks kind of love to lean on their tight end. So perhaps they could be key pieces to add to a team that we already think is pretty strong.
Right, for sure. Yeah, keep giving JR's team more love. I guess he deserves it.
Well, at least this year I have wide receiver depth, unlike last year. So, and even getting Coleman for $11, he could be a decent fill-in with the Saints offense.
What did you pay for McCaffrey, Eric?
42
or 45. I thought it was 49.
No, I think it was 45. Yeah, 45.
Yeah, it was 45.
So I'm just wondering, like, not next year. Well, I guess it will be next year. Like, are you going to be in a situation where, like, based on, like, your fab and, like, everything else, like you're going to have, like, almost $0 for the draft? I'm just wondering. Cause, like,
yeah.
Like the price increase of 25%, like it's gonna go up.
Is it 15% or 20% the first year? Right? 20.
It's 20, yeah, and then 25. So 25 first year is 20.
Of the original price?
So it's first year is a 20% increase, and then the second year is a 25% increase.
Is it 25 on top of the current price, or 25 on top of the first year price?
It's 25 on top of the previous year price.
Oh, first year price. So 97 times 25?
No. So it's the previous year price. So it's 116 times the 1.25. Yeah.
About $50-$60, you know. Like I said, that's why I got OJ Howard. He'll probably be like a about $4 or $5 keeper. So, I can put it together. You know, I'm banking on. I think I should do well this year. You know, I'm looking long term too. So, next year could be a tough year, survival mode. But I'm looking long term and. Gonna be a lot more players in the pool next year because the third year is the last year for all those rookies.
Right. Yeah. So you're definitely gonna have some budget issues with those two guys to start, but you can definitely find some value other places though, like you did with Jimmy Graham last year or something like that. So there's always guys you can pick up.
Yeah, I made a boo boo last year, but you know, I gotta take responsibility.
Right. Well, I guess that. Pretty much wraps up our waiver wire coverage for the week. Here with our first version of the 2017 extraordinarily fresh power rankings is our commissioner, Skip.
The preseason power rankings in general, if you looked at them, you know that it's a combination of how you finished last year, your keepers, how you did in the draft in general, but it doesn't really take into account any free agent moves. Or any roster moves in general in the NFL that have happened since our draft. And so starting out, we have the top three, and we have one on the line, Eric, and then we have JR, so the two championship game participants. And then at number three, I've got a pretty big surprise that, you know, would probably be a little bit shocking to most, and I think it's Jewel. Just looking at her draft, and I know we talked about it, it actually looked pretty solid. And I'm kind of trying to extrapolate here in general, sort of where I think these teams may go within the next few weeks. And so looking at her schedule and then kind of looking at the team, I felt like she may be strong and stay up in this area of the power rankings. So that's Eric, JR, and then Jewel as 1, 2, and 3. And then for 4, 5, and 6, we have you, Brad. I think in general, you had the best draft coming in with the keepers and then coming out with the players that you actually got. And then number 5, I put Roland. I've already talked about what I think he did. And then number 6, I have Simon, who I think we all agree in general had a pretty good draft. And then 7, 8, and 9, we've got Chad. Of course, his tight end heavy strategy can work because we do have two flex players. So I think that given that he did pretty well, but we all know about his running backs, but we'll talk about why he may have actually kind of lucked out on that front, given some injuries this week. And then 8, I have you, Clint. I called it solid but unspectacular in the power rankings, and I think you probably know why I called it that. But I think if Kareem Hunt can continue to do what he's doing, I think you'll be set to move up the power rankings in a very speedy manner. And then number 9, I have Ish. Ish generally kind of sits around this area of the power rankings. He can never really ascend to the higher ranks. And, you know, I think this year will be much of the same. And so then from 10 on down, it's like the kind of, I don't really know how to rank them, and I'm just going to put them here based on how I kind of feel about their teams, kind of area of the power rankings. And so for 10, 11, and 12, I have AJ, I have Eric Farrow, not you, Eric, and then I have Ronnie at 12. In general, their teams kind of look the same. They have similar deficiencies, and we'll see if they can overcome them going forward. And then for number 13 and 14, I've got myself, and then I've got Shane. Shane's the reigning Putrid Award winner. He's going to stay down there at the bottom until he can prove that he can get out of that rut. So that's the power rankings.
All right. That always gives us something to talk about. Eric, Clint, you have any reactions to the power rankings for the pre-week one power rankings?
No, I mean, I think Skip's pretty close with it. It's just always so hard to tell, you know, at the beginning of the season. I mean, obviously the last, you know, like Skip was saying, the last, you know, four teams or whatever. I mean, there's obvious holes, and, you know, I mean, but, you know, I look at my own team and I'm like, okay, I'm starting Derrick Henry in a flex position. You know what I mean? And well, some of that's due to the whole Tampa Bay situation, but you know, it's, I guess, I don't know, preseason rankings. We'll just let the games play out, I guess. We'll see what happens.
So we're going to get into week one now. The matchups that your team has, or some matchups that intrigued you to start the week when you looked at the league schedule, or you can just speak on your matchup.
Yes, I guess I can go ahead and talk because Clint and I are facing each other this week. So,
yep.
This is going to be a massacre. I already know it, and I knew it on Thursday night when I saw Kareem Hunt run for catch two touchdowns and then run for one. It was an amazing game, and kudos to you for grabbing him in the rookie draft. And yeah, I'm just going to take this L and move on to next week.
Yeah, it's kind of a tough way to start seeing that Thursday with your opponent. But before the actual game started, though, Skip was a 7-point favorite. So I think with Hunt's big game on Thursday, I think that really propped Clint up. And I know Skip's had – he didn't get a whole lot out of guys like Hogan and his defense on Thursday night, so that didn't help either.
Right. No, dude. Well, the crazy thing is, like I said, I was going to look through these matchups, and I mean, there's there's some scores that you would be, you know, you'd expect to see, you know, from Fresh. I mean, you know, the 140s, 130s, stuff like that. JR, not Joel, but JR is looking at a 150 game projected right now. But man, I tell you what, there's some low games. I mean, you've got Eric and Eric week one, right now, 99 projected 99 and 101. And then Ish and, is that Roland? Is he bench points? King of bench points. Is that Roland?
No, it's Shane.
Oh, Shane. Okay. Shane. I mean, they've got a matchup right now projected at 87 to 90. And I mean, it's great. Like, those are the scores you'd expect, you know, mid season injuries, you know, lack of depth,
bye weeks.
Yeah. And I mean, we're seeing that week one, which is, it's kind of shocking to me. I mean, I'm just used to the anywhere between 120 to 140 scores for our guys. And so it's just kind of weird.
There's a real possibility of Eric's game of the winner having under 100, and the same with Shane and Ish too. So we might have two games where the winner goes under 100.
And when's the last time that happened in Fresh?
Yeah, I was trying to think. Yeah, I mean, I remember it happened a few times here or there, but I don't think multiple times in a week.
No, that's crazy. But, I mean, I don't know, week one, everybody's got to have a couple weeks to get their team adjusted and figure out what they need, maybe make some trades, you know. So, we'll see. We shall see.
Right. Yes. And we have a pretty high-scoring matchup, unlike some of the other ones, so far with Roland and AJ, and that's the first time AJ's been mentioned on this podcast. I don't know what his over-under on how long it would take us to bring him up would be, but here it is, AJ. So, you know, what do you guys think of that matchup? Or looks like they're both projected to score over 120, and it's a close game right now. So
I think, yeah, you're right. It's going to be one of the higher scoring matchups. Brandon Marshall has not done anything yet, and we're at the half of that game.
Zero.
So I don't know. I think if he continues along this path, it's going to be a little bit difficult for AJ to keep that lead over Roland. But you know, we'll see, because basically their defenses are going against each other, which is really interesting.
I saw the quarterbacks. Stafford's only 23 more than like three touchdowns. Maybe it was another player, but Brady didn't have a great week. The tight ends kind of disappointed everywhere. Hunt was kind of the only running back that really went off.
Yeah, really he was. I know Antonio Brown had a pretty big game for Chad too, but there wasn't a lot of weak shifting type of performances today, at least not yet. We still have the second half of tonight's game and then two Monday night games. I guess maybe AJ that had Brandon Marshall. Maybe his best hope is, since they're behind at halftime, maybe he'll get some passes in the second half and get AJ some points, because he will need them to beat Roland.
Le'Veon Bell, I don't know what happened to him today. He didn't do anything either.
He sat out all preseason wanting a higher contract. That's what happened. Didn't get any team reps.
Right. Yeah, that seems to happen when guys sit out like that. They don't really jump in week one just like, you know, back at 100% of what you expect. So I guess that's a byproduct of not having a preseason. So anything else with the matchups for the week, or your particular matchup for you guys?
No, I think Skip did a pretty good job hitting on it. It would have been a lot closer game if old Kareem hadn't busted out like that. And the one thing that's going to be tough on Skip is having as many New England spots rostered if they have a bad game. And they just had a bad game that Thursday.
Right, absolutely. I think that's very accurate.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that to be the norm all year for New England. I'm sure they'll bounce back. So,
one other thing I saw, and you know, we mentioned it with Shane and Ish, their matchup being under 100. You know, I think Shane is up to his old tricks. I'm not sure he learned from his Future Award thing. And I think you all know what I'm talking about. He benched Austin Cooper. I mean, sorry. He benched Austin Hooper.
Right.
I think it would seem quite obvious to us and to most people that he probably should have played Austin Hooper against the Chicago Bears. So, you know, he's still the king of bench points, and he would have easily had the win had he done the rational thing.
Who did he bench him for? Who did he start him over?
I'm guessing the actual decision was like Marshawn Lynch or Austin Hooper. At least it looks that way to me. And he went with Lynch over Hooper.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at too. That's probably what he was looking at. So yeah, I guess he'll get to keep that title, King of Bench Points, for a little while longer at least.
One guy that looks kind of done is Eddie Lacy. He looks like he could be just finished. Maybe I'll win games and everything, but I don't even know who has him, but he didn't get in the game much.
It seemed like Eddie Lacy's been trending that way for a couple of years. And I thought, you know, as at first, I thought maybe Seattle, maybe a change of scenery in Seattle might help him out. But Eric said he didn't look good today, so maybe not so much. But
let's be a little fair. None of the Seattle running backs actually did well today.
That's a good point.
So I don't know. Maybe we'll see a rebound. But I think it's a crapshoot in that backfield. Until someone really emerges as the guy, I think we should probably just stay away from them all.
Yeah, I think you're right. It looks like kind of a mess right now, the way I see it.
Who's the one guy to own? in the backfield? I mean, who if you had to pick one, who are you going to take?
So me, I would definitely stay away from Lacy. I almost think Rawls is probably still the best, but then you got Carson, who maybe you just go with a young guy. I don't know, it's a tough call.
I don't know. I think maybe Procise, because perhaps he has the well-established role. But, you know, that may be a floor play. The ceiling play may be Rawls, like Brad said.
It's just so weird to see Seattle in that situation. You know, I mean, you know, Marshawn Lynch was such a staple of that offense. And, you know, and now it's like scratching your head looking for answers at who's your running back. You know what I mean? And I can't imagine how Seattle fans feel about that. You know, it's weird.
Yeah, it's tough with as good as that defense is. And they can't seem to find a steady offense now to keep them going. But maybe one of those four running backs that we mentioned will, I guess, take the reins and stick out. You guys have any other observations from week one of the games we saw today? Any performances?
Yes. Disappointments? Tariq Cohen.
Who'd you say, Eric?
Tariq Cohen for the Bears. He looked pretty good. I've been on him back in May. They say he may be the now that Kevin White's out, he may be like a passing back now. They love the kid.
Right, seemed like he had a pretty big day for the Bears in his first game. So maybe you're right. Maybe it'll be him and Howard kind of doing the Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman thing from last year.
Well, apparently the other observation is from truth be told, the only game I watched today was whatever defense is playing the Bengals, start them.
Was Andy Dalton that bad, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it was a combination of, you know, Dalton and, you know, the offensive line. And because two of the interceptions out of the four were batted at the line of scrimmage and popped up in the air. And so that's why that happened. But that's because the offensive line, you know, let him get that pressure. So, you know, it just, man, that was I had the Ohio State miserable failure last night, and then you know, to see the Bengals put up a goose egg today. And it was so many chances, man. They were in the red zone two or three times and somehow put up a goose egg.
Yeah, that was a rough 12 to 18 hours for you. But I think that they'll improve. I mean, they have to. They can't. I wouldn't think they'd be that bad all year. I mean, they're not Cleveland, right?
No, and historically, I mean, Andy Dalton, like, I mean, you've probably read the articles. I mean, there's the whole good Andy, bad Andy thing, and it, you know, he'll come Thursday and he'll throw three touchdowns, no interceptions, and you know, 320 yards, you know, against Houston, and it's like, you know, who is this guy? Where did he come from? Kind of thing. I don't know. This has nothing to do with fantasy, but I mean, you know, you look at the guys that the Bengals have on offense between, you know, Jeremy Hill, Joe Mixon, Giovanni Bernard, AJ Green, Tyler Eifert, you know, Brandon LaFell, you know, and then even some good rookies like, you know, well, John Ross and then Tyler Boyd from last year. And it's like, they've got all these guys, all these playmakers, and I mean, how does something not get done? And this is probably not even going to make it to the podcast, but I'm just talking football right now.
Like, right.
It was a tough day to be a Bengals fan. I mean, I was so mad.
I guess we should hit on real quick, too, since, this, you know, we are a fantasy football league, and it affected fantasy football with the hurricane in Florida right now. And it canceled the Dolphins and Tampa Bay Buccaneers game. And instead of playing week one, since both teams shared a bye week in week 11, they just pushed it back to week 11. So let me get your thoughts on, did you guys agree with, like, moving it back to week 11, or should they have gone and played in, like, I think Philadelphia was an option, or some neutral stadium up north? And how, what do you guys think on how that affected fantasy and, you know, things like that?
Well, I'll tell you what I think. It sucked for fantasy, but I mean, you got to think with the hurricane coming, dude, like, that's, I mean, not only would it be affecting their stadium, but like, that's their homes too. You know what I mean? So the players, yeah, they're players, and like, we root for them, and you know, we clap our hands when they do good, and we cuss them when they don't. And you know, but I mean, they're people with lives and homes, and I mean, they've got houses down there and families, and like, they need a week off, honestly, like, right, to get their like life straightened out. I'm sure, I would think anyway. I don't know, but
yeah, you know, I would think so. It's more than just a game, like you said. But
right,
and I hope it all turns out for everybody. I know they're going through a lot down there right now. But I guess really, from if you take all that out of it in a vacuum, like, the way it affects our league, our, you know, fantasy football in general, like, you know, having an unexpected bye week to start, you know, and having it pushed back to where both teams have to play 16 games in a row without a bye week, which, you know, that changes, you know, a lot of draft strategies. You know, when you're drafting, you're looking at guys in their bye weeks, so they no longer have a bye week on week 11. You can hopefully count on those guys if they're healthy. So, just in a vacuum of just fantasy and not the human element, like the life part of it, what do you think about the effect on all that?
I mean, I'd say the biggest thing is probably I don't expect Jay Cutler to make it through the end of the season. I mean, you know, you've got guys playing 16 straight weeks now without a break. I'd be a little concerned if I had Dolphins or Buccaneers players, especially for how they're going to perform in the fantasy playoffs. Now, I don't like to look so far into the future and try to project, but, you know, it's obvious that there's going to be a tangible effect on their health as they approach weeks 14 through 16.
I just saw something not too long ago. I don't remember if it was on Reddit or not, but it was like they were basically saying, you know, talking about the NFL, maybe it had something to do with marijuana or something. I don't remember, but it was about, you know, mm-hmm. you know, we, the fans, you know, don't know what it's like to be, you know, pumped up on pain medication all week just to be able to play on Sunday. You know what I mean? And, you know, if you watch a football game and watch the amount of, you know, the hits and the bumps and, you know, all the abuse that those guys, you know, put themselves to, it's like, how do you not feel like crap for like, you know, 6 days straight, you know, before your next game? So,
right. And that's kind of the thing with the Thursday games, why a lot of right. Thursday games are so bad, because, you know, the guys are only halfway through their recovery and they got to play again. So I think an extra bye week, you know, if they could space them out, have one, you know, a third of the way through, and then one 2/3 of the way through, but maybe we'd see some better games and better performances and better health for the players, you know. All right, here we are at the end of the pod for week one. Any parting thoughts from any of you guys?
No, I mean, good luck to everybody this year. Good luck to everybody. That's really all I had. I'm just excited football's back. I'm excited fantasy football's back, and it's always nice. I know we have our off season where we don't really talk much, but it's nice to be talking to all you guys again in the chat and hanging out on the podcast and everything. It's going to be a fun season.
Eric, you got anything?
Looking forward to a great year with you guys. Good luck to all of you.
Sounds good. And any last words from the commish?
I'd say thanks to everyone for, you know, making this league so fun, making this what it is, and, you know, allowing me to do my job and be as annoying as I can possibly be. And, you know, hopefully it's fun for you guys as much as it is for me.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I definitely want to say good luck to everybody, except for when I play you. And then, you know, definitely a big shout out, big thanks to the commish for running all this nonsense that we do and making it the best league possible. So we do definitely do appreciate that. And that'll be it for our week one podcast. We will be back for week two. Thanks for listening and keep it fresh.